morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us today in the program. We're going to give you a preview of a great conference coming up for couples, Catholic couples, in February. Emily Leadham and Chris Bergwell join us to talk about Reckless, a Catholic couples conference coming up in February. Hope you'll stick around for that. Renee Kranz will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Kelly Bartman with the first and second reading. Deacon John Devlin with the gospel.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. Before the Lord, the whole universe is as a grain from a balance or a drop of morning dew come down upon the earth. But you have mercy on all, because you can do all things, and you overlook people's sins that they may repent. For you love all things that are, and loathe nothing that you have made, for what you hated you would not have fashioned. And how could a thing remain unless you willed it, or be preserved had it not been called forth by you? But you spare all things because they are yours, O Lord and lover of souls, for your imperishable spirit is in all things. Therefore, you rebuke offenders little by little, warn them and remind them of the sins they are committing, that they may abandon their wickedness and believe in you, O Lord. The word of the Lord. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, in accord with the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you, brothers and sisters, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling with him, not to be shaken out of your minds suddenly, or to be alarmed either by a spirit or by an oral statement, or by a letter allegedly from us to the effect that the day of the Lord is at hand. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now there was a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Renee Kranz.
Anthony Klein, seminarian for the Diocese of Sioux Falls, was ordained to the diaconate October 3rd in the Basilica of St. Peter in Rome. Bishop Robert P. Dealey of the Diocese of Portland in Maine celebrated the ordination mass for Klein and 30 other seminarians from the Pontifical North American College, which serves as the American seminary in Rome. During ordination, the new deacons promised to live a life of prayer, celibacy, and obedience to their diocesan bishop and his successors. Former Vice President Joe Biden attended the 9 a.m. mass at St. Anthony Church October 27th. And when he presented himself to receive the Eucharist, was refused by the pastor. "Sadly, this past Sunday, I had to refuse Holy Communion to former Vice President Joe Biden," Father Robert Morey wrote in a statement responding to queries from the Florence Morning News. "Holy Communion signifies we are one with God, each other, and the Church. Our actions should reflect that. Any public figure who advocates for abortion places himself or herself outside of Church teaching. At the heart of that teaching is Canon 915 of the Code of Canon Law, which states that Holy Communion should not be given to two groups of persons, those who are excommunicated or interdicted, and those who obstinately persist in manifest grave sin. The issue of Catholic politicians supporting abortion has been addressed at every level of the Catholic Church. Governors from 8 Amazonian states in Brazil and Peru, meeting at the Vatican, agreed that the Amazon is threatened and called for a green economy that would allow people to generate income without destroying the forest. In a day-long meeting at the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, October 28th, the governors made short presentations about steps they are taking towards sustainable development and problems they face. The meeting came a day after the end of the Synod of Bishops for the Amazon. While the Synod provided an assessment of the environmental, climatic, social, cultural, and church-related situation in the Amazon Basin, state governors are the ones responsible for seeking local solutions, Bishop Marcelo Sanchez Sorondo, Chancellor of the Academy, told Catholic News Service. The social action arm of the Archdiocese of Manila was among organizations responding in the aftermath of a powerful earthquake that struck the southern Philippine region of Mindanao October 29th. Caritas Manila appealed for donations to aid in its work after the magnitude 6.6 earthquake left at least 6 people dead and affected more than 8,400 others as of October 30th. Father Anton Pascual, executive director of Caritas Manila, said the donations will be used for relief efforts and the rehabilitation needs of affected families, especially in Cotabato province and nearby areas. The priest said people urgently need clean water, food, clothes, and hygiene items. With all the news a Catholic can use, I'm Renee Kranz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
Renee, I loved hearing about the ordination. That's my godson,
yes,
so a special moment.
Yeah.
And we look forward to the priestly ordinations for the diocese.
Certainly.
Next May. Let's move on now to our interview. This morning at Catholic Views, we are joined by Emily Liedem and Chris Bergwald from the Discipleship and Evangelization Group, and we're going to talk about a conference coming up called Reckless.
Yes, we are, Jerry.
Reckless.
Reckless.
Reckless, a Catholic couples conference.
You got to have the tagline.
Reckless.
Well, yeah, otherwise, what
otherwise,
the heck is Reckless?
What does Reckless mean? Of course, I think that's the first thing that catches people is the title, Reckless, a Catholic couples conference.
Yeah.
And maybe we ought to start there let's start first with the why. I mean, we've talked about this before with conferences.
Sure.
That your offices have been involved with. The Office of Marriage, Family, and Respect Life, the Office of Adult Discipleship. There's a reason why you guys want to do these sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so for me, there was this real intentionality that I was putting towards marriage preparation efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a diocese also put a lot of time and energy towards youth efforts and all of these different things. And I was struck one day and just really, quite frankly, convicted. All right, if I want awesome kids in our diocese, if I want awesome engaged couples in our diocese, what do we need to do that? We need awesome marriages. We need marriages that are on fire and that can witness to the reality of marriage to our engaged couples, that can witness the reality of marriage, a Catholic faith-filled marriage to their children, to youth in general. And so it was just really convicting. What are we doing for our married couples to really support them in that journey, to encourage them in that journey? And so, yeah, for me, that was kind of where it came about. And then Chris and I had also partnered the last few years on our women's conference, which
right.
has been a beautiful and really kind of astonishing success. I think for us, it's been really a beautiful thing to see women just come out of the woodworks with this desire. And in part, there was this sense after the last women's conference, all right, they're going to go home to many of them, though, are going to go home to their husbands who didn't get to share in this experience with
mm-hmm.
them, who are delighted that their wife had this opportunity, but they're now trying to navigate, how do we bring this into our marriage, into my vocation? And so I think second upon just wanting to have awesome married couples in the diocese, it was also a building upon what the Lord's been doing with our women's conference.
Chris, how about you?
It's so...
just like there were women's events going on in the diocese, but the diocese had never done a women's conference. We know there's been Worldwide Marriage Encounter and so on, but for the diocese, in this way, our office at least, to get behind an event that really wants to focus not just on women, not just on men, not even, frankly, Jerry, on families, but on couples. We're just really convicted. Emily, I just recently were talking with one of our keynoters about this, about the importance. This is not a family conference, not because we're anti-family, but the heart of the family actually, in the vast majority of instances, is mom and dad.
Right.
So husband and wife. So really focusing there on husband and wife, man and woman, together drawing closer to one another, closer to the Lord.
Does the fact that the society we live in today does not particularly value the longevity of a couple influence either one of you as you think about this?
I would say that there is something to that, but I think it starts with sort of the positive. Like, we want to help your marriage in Christ flourish. Mm-hmm. Recognizing then, to your point, that there are all sorts of challenges out there, frankly, Jerry, not just the longevity, the
quality too, right?
Even before, how many couples today are cohabitating?
Yeah.
Because they don't see the value of marriage, and in our case, particularly a sacramental marriage. So we want to highlight the beauty of Catholic sacramental marriages and help those participants who come, the couples who come, really deepen their relationship together in the Lord.
And I think culturally, the message of personal autonomy and self-care, you know, that's a big trending word right now, you know, hashtag self-care. As much as those things can be really good, I noticed in myself that it was actually kind of in some ways becoming detrimental to the way in which I was seeking to live my marriage, seeking to live my married life, because there's this, you know, massive push towards autonomy. Be your own person. You do you. You be who you are, that kind of thing. And again, like in some ways, I think that can be a really good thing. But if you compare that to other cultures in the world that are not high on autonomy, but rather really high on like a familial sense of community, spouses, they're really deeply connected to one another in a way that I think in some ways American marriages are not, American couples are not. And so that was a cultural influence for me as part of thinking about this, that we actually need to bind ourselves more deeply to our spouse in order to really enter into the covenantal marriage that God has created.
We're talking about Reckless, a conference for married couples that is coming up, but we haven't given the dates and the details yet. We should do that quick.
Yeah, February 1st and 2nd of 2020.
Okay.
Here in Sioux Falls at the downtown Hilton.
At the downtown Hilton. And if you're an early type of registrar person, people who want to get registered?
Register, period.
Really?
Even if you're not an early register, period.
We're half full.
How about that?
Yeah.
And we're 3 months out.
Yeah. And we've only, registration opened a month ago, and
okay,
we're half
then.
Full.
So there's
sfcatholic.org/couples conference.
Yeah. Get registered today.
Register today, because if you wait too long, this will be a great, by Christmas is coming, Christmas present for your spouse. Sign up, register. But yeah, do it sooner than later.
How about that? That really speaks, I think, maybe to something.
Right.
That you're on to something.
Well, like Emily said, with Women's Conference, we really saw that that was an easy conference for Emily and I to do because it was responding to a real need that was articulated. Similarly, I think Emily received articulation of that from some people, but I think we're not surprised by the response, frankly, and yet it's an affirmation of our perception of a need and a desire that's been out there.
Let's talk a little bit about who you're bringing in to make this a special conference.
Yeah, Chris and I were having a lot of conversations about what would we want. You know, we're married, not to each other, but we're both independently married.
Yes.
And,
independently married.
What's the word?
I know. That
came out wrong.
You are married to other individuals.
Word vomit. I'm trying to take it back. But, you know, we kept on having this conversation. What would we want? What would we want to be encouraged
what would
in?
Be
and
helpful.
I even, and I even asked a lot of friends on social media and real life friends as well. You know, what would you like to hear? One thing that came up over and over and over again was, I don't know how to pray with my spouse. You know, the church talks about all the time, or I hear that I want that for my marriage. I want to learn how to pray together, but it's awkward, or I don't know what to say, or, you know, we do it once and then it, and then we fall off the bandwagon. And so immediately we thought, we want Deacon James Keating from the Institute of Priestly Formation in Omaha to come and give some tips on spousal prayer. He has an incredible little book on spousal prayer that was really transformative for me, and I think for you too, Chris. But have you read it?
No. Don't tell him.
Sorry, I shouldn't have asked you that on the air. That was mean. I'm so sorry.
There's time.
You should read it. It's so good. You're good friends with Deacon Keating, though, so you've probably gotten a lot of it in passing.
Remind me to come back if I don't, that we should also talk about ways to prepare for this.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
As we get there.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, so Deacon Keating talking about spousal prayer and a couple of other things as well. He also just has a really great sense of humor, and I think will bring practical, real-life marriage, you know.
He's been married a while himself.
Yeah, he'll be incredible.
And he's been in our diocese. We had him for Discipleship Day a few years ago. Priests have experienced him at clergy days, retreats, and so on.
Very well received, So he'll be here. And then Innie and Kana Hickman, they're Texanites, and they will... Is that a thing?
No, Texans.
Texans. But isn't it more fun to say Texanites?
Sure.
They're Texanites.
You go. You be you.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what I was going for.
Since this is the theme of the day.
Yeah, that's the theme. I'm gonna hold on to that, Texanites. So they're... but they're going to be joining us as well, and they are awesome. Like, we just had a conversation recently with Innie and ended up getting off the phone and thinking, I'm so affirmed in this decision to bring him. He's just, they're going to be a ton of fun. And but also
a particular bent that they have to talk about, or a particular theme.
They're coming as a, so Deacon Keating is married, as we just talked about, but to have it was important to both Emily and me to have a couple actually present, if we could get the right couple.
Together. Got it.
So they're going to be on stage, if you will, at the Hilton during the day, their keynotes together.
Interesting.
It's sort of the practicalities, but also the call to arms, if you will, on how in the ordinary everyday life, how to really see your spouse. I mean, how often, Jerry, do we go throughout our days, hi, honey, have a good day, and, oh, how's your day, honey? Good, thanks. But to really behold, it was Emily's word, actually, to behold each other in the ordinary. And so those practicalities of some of the basics, you know, communication, being attentive to one another, et cetera, that sort of thing.
I want to go back to something you guys said at the beginning, or earlier in the show, at least, about that it's not about necessarily about family. And yet I think probably at the core of what you really want to happen here is that you strengthen families. Families today are in a lot of trouble in a lot of places. But the core of a family, of course, is the couple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Having a mom and a dad who are raising their kids together is where the strength comes from, right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
Am I right in thinking that?
Yes and no. To start with the no side. I mean, we're just really aware. I mean, the reality, Emily's been really emphasizing this with our speakers. There are couples who struggle with infertility, and we don't want them to feel like this is, a parenting conference.
Yep.
And yet the reality is, Jerry, that without a strong marriage, you can't have a strong family. So for those many, many families who do have children, or grown children out of the house and grandkids, and everywhere in between, the family, whatever, however long you've been married, whether it's 5 years, 15 years, or 50 years, you can always grow deeper in your marriage.
Yeah.
There's a quote, actually, from one of the speakers from Innie Hickman, who's going to be joining us. And I think somebody had asked him at one point, you know, you got a lot of kids. How do you have time to do all that? How do you have time to love all of them? I can't even imagine. And he said, I just love my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I love my wife. And so I think you're onto something with there is that reality that what we're attempting to do here is to strengthen families. We're attempting to strengthen culture because of that.
Yeah.
And it starts, if you love your spouse well, everything else falls into place.
Well, and isn't that what the Lord told us to do? I mean, that was the command.
Yeah.
Actually, and you know, anyway, to become one, like, your spouse is neighbor A. You know, don't worry about neighbor C and D until you focus on neighbor A, which is your spouse. For those who are married, your spouse is your closest neighbor.
Yeah. And I would say even for those that struggle with infertility or other, you know, don't have children for any number of reasons, they're still family.
Yes.
And they're
Amen.
Still part of
Amen.
Family,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't want people to think it's not for them because of that.
Quick story, local story. Way back when I was studying in Rome, before I came to the diocese, got to know a seminarian from the diocese, Jim Mason, Father James Mason. And he told a story, this is 20 years ago now, over 20 years ago, that I remember Father Jim telling this story of how he remembers every day his dad would come home, and the Masons have, like, I think 8 kids. But the kids, when they were little, they run up, dad. But the first thing that Mr. Mason always did was greet his wife and give her a kiss before he turned his attention to his kids.
And it made an impression, obviously.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it made an impression then on me.
Yeah.
And I did the same. I've done the same thing.
Yeah. One of the things that, and my wife and I heard this some years ago, and we've gotten into the habit of it, and we kind of laugh about it now, but we try to regularly say, what is it I can do for you?
Mm-hmm.
I think I heard a speaker say that somewhere along the line, and we picked it up and we try to do that. And, and then we kind of chuckle, ha ha ha.
Right.
But there's something really strong and beautiful about that for a couple to do that.
And I think I love that example because it points to the importance of going to something like a conference or retreat, stepping away together to be refreshed, to be given ideas, like ask your spouse, what can I do for you today? Yeah. How can I serve you today? Or make sure that you're greeting your spouse the moment that you get home before we're doing all the other things. You know, I think offering this conference is hopefully that space to really let couples brainstorm together. What habits do we want to foster in our marriage? What habits do we want to foster in our daily life that can actually strengthen our marriage, strengthen our relationship?
Mm-hmm. And that reminds me, Jerry, something that we haven't talked about. Yes, it's really in the forefront of Emily's and my minds when we think about the conference, but so we'll make sure and talk about it. This is not a day just to sit in a seat all day and hear great speakers. We're going to have some fun stuff, but a really cool idea that we came up with was we're going to let couples go around 5 o'clock, 4:30 or 5 o'clock, to go have a date night, to go have dinner at one of the many great restaurants in downtown Sioux Falls, and by themselves, maybe with other couples. But this is an opportunity to sort of maybe put into practice what you
some
heard
of what you're hearing
today, and then come back, and because this was Emily's idea, I'm gonna let Emily, we've got an evening of entertainment planned.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, we're gonna bring in some dueling pianos from they're actually from Minneapolis, but just for a really fun opportunity to get together with other Catholic couples to laugh. We'll have a cash bar available so people can have a glass of wine and be entertained. And I think music has a really powerful way of sealing memories, of sealing experiences. And so after having this incredible day of depth and, you know, really digging into spirituality together, digging into life together, to come and to have something that's just really fun and makes you laugh, I think is going to be a great way to kind of seal the graces.
I kind of like the timing of this. It's in the kind of the depth of winter when you need some brightness.
Yes.
You need
Amen.
Something to lift you up a little
Amen.
Bit. So plan on that, folks. If you know, not everybody can get away for a vacation, so maybe this is a little mini vacation.
Yes.
A pretty reasonable priced one, I suspect, as well.
And we're really, so $75 per couple is the fee. That's the combined cost, not per person. And we are really encouraging, again, we're at the downtown Hilton, the beautiful hotel right on the river. We are really encouraging couples, if they're able to make this a date weekend, not just a date day, but to spend the night, reserve a room at the hotel.
I was going to say, probably another reason to get your registration in early, if you want a room.
Exactly.
And we have a block set up so that it's a bit more affordable than their typical room rates to make it happen for couples. Yep. Because I think I keep on saying, you know, the worst thing that you could do is have this awesome day and then go home to dirty dishes in the sink or laundry overflowing. Maybe your houses don't look like that, but mine does.
Yeah. We have teenagers now to take care of those things.
Oh, and what a dream.
And it'll happen.
Someday.
You just stay married long enough, it all happens. The other thing is, of course, people need time to take care of their kids. If they have kids to take care of, they got to make arrangements for that too. So again, registration early is probably really important for all kinds of reasons.
And then we don't have a program on Sunday morning, but we're inviting everybody to come to the 9:15 Sunday Mass at the Cathedral of St. Joseph.
Okay.
And that is going to be celebrated with Bishop Swain or one of our priests or the new bishop.
Or the new bishop. Who knows?
We don't know.
Just a couple minutes left, guys, and I do want to go back to that other thing we talked about, and that is how do couples prepare for something like this? How should they be preparing to really be able to get as much out of this as they can.
Yeah. I mean, I think always the preparation is the ordinary life of, you know, praying with your spouse, that kind of thing. But I think specifically in preparation for the conference, we threw on the, on one of the Q&As, maybe bring a little something special for your spouse, and tuck it in your suitcase for the retreat, a gift or whatever it might be. Maybe it's the champagne that you shared on your wedding night, something like that. But to be intentionally thinking about, what can I do to kind of make this, an extra special thing for us, is a simple preparation item. And then, of course, you know, we'll be communicating, make reservations, plan your date night, all of that. But yeah, outside of that, I think just the ordinary preparation of investing in your marriage now. Yeah. Start fostering that now. Don't wait until February. The more knots that you can tie leading up in the next 3 months, the more experiences you can have together, I think the more profound that conference is going to be for you.
And again, this is for couples married 3 months.
Yep.
3 years. 30 years.
Yep.
60. The whole range. 60 years.
Married couples is kind of what we settled on.
Okay.
Would be the.
Mm-hmm. All married couples.
All married couples.
You can always make things better, even if they're really good. You can always make things
Amen.
Better.
Yes.
This isn't a retrovi where if you know have a troubled marriage, we would ask you to consider a retrovi necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But this can help anybody.
Yep. It's really an enrichment opportunity.
Yep.
All right. Well, something to look forward to. Again, give us the details of making sure we get registered.
February 1st and 2nd, downtown at the Hilton Garden in Sioux Falls. And you can learn all kinds of information at SF Catholic. That's SiouxFallsCatholic.org/couplesconference.
And I believe there's also a couple of videos on there, which
yes.
are kind of cool.
Yes, very
so
cool.
It's a little enticement
to
go check those out.
Yes, they're
all
fun.
Right. Emily Leadham, Chris Bergwell, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks.
To you, Jerry.
Last week, we talked just a little bit, Renee, about the November Bishop's Bulletin, but it either is or should be in people's homes pretty soon.
Yes, it should be in your home, hopefully. It will have the necrology for the diocese included, and we have a special story for National Adoption Awareness Month in there.
I love that necrology because it's so perfect in November because we always want to remember to pray for our beloved dead during this month. So it's a great way to remember that.
It is, yeah.
And to do that.
It's important to pray for them.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And we mentioned last week the feature story is also a great one for people to review.
Yeah, about saints in America.
Yeah, about saints in America. It's fascinating, to me at least, how many are on that list.
Yes, so. Quite a lot.
Youth Conference is next weekend.
Yep, November 9th.
Okay, so we'll look forward to that. Always lots to look forward to in the diocese.
Yeah, a lot going on.
All right. Well, that's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll be back with you next Sunday.